Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Agnition. And today we'll have retired limited late model and modified driver Gary Shumsky joining us. We'll also hear from Matt from Walker Performance Filtration Systems, Chad Meyer from the Kossuth County Ag and Racing Museum in Algona, Iowa, and a little more from our friend Andy at Agnition, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Got an old motorcycle that's taken up space? Time to turn that bike into cash. Motorcycles Wanted. We buy 1970s Japanese bikes and British bikes, running bikes, non-running bikes, dirt bikes, and street bikes. Call today, 612-720-2142. That's 612-720-2142.
And now a word from our title sponsors of the Dirt Show, the Dirt Experts, Agnition.
Farmers, get your soil started with Generate from Agnition. Generate is a patented microbial catalyst that stimulates native microbes to liberate nutrients that drive soil and plant health. Click on our ad on the Dirt Show website for more information on our new customer promotion today.
Generate. Drive efficiencies from the ground up.
Speed the Sauce Man here. Be smart and check the label before you put barbecue sauce in your grocery cart. Make the health-conscious choice and choose Cookies barbecue sauce with 5 distinct flavors. Our sauces are gluten-free with no MSG and no fish allergen. We use corn syrup instead of high-fructose corn syrup. Cookies always enhances your favorite cuts of meat or main dishes. Make sure the Cookies label is sitting on your table. Be smart before you put it in your cart.
Cookies is the one.
Farmers have to face a lot of adversity during harvest season. Grain prices, fuel prices, lack of sleep, and now the recent storms. Hi, this is Jamie from International Steel Erectors. It seems like no matter what is thrown at our area farmers, they always persevere. Have a safe and productive harvest season, and if your grain site has been affected by the recent storms, please contact International Steel Erectors in Owatonna or NASCO Equipment in Fairmont, and we will find a solution together.
NAPA Know How!
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on parts and accessories. That's 20% off brake pads, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/18.
When you have an accident, you want someone with experience to fix your vehicle.
Bob from Midwest Collision in Faribault has spent his entire adult life servicing and repairing damaged vehicles. Midwest Collision takes care of everything from dealing with the insurance claims, providing you with a quality loaner vehicle, and repairing your damaged vehicle to meet or exceed your expectations. He's helped me, and I know he can help you too. Contact Bob at Midwest Collision in Faribault at 332-2434. Your experienced, worry-free, hassle-free body shop.
Hey, this is Dave from Severson Oil, VP Racing Fuels, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment here on The Dirt Show, and today it is my pleasure to be joined by retired limited late model and modified driver Gary Shumsky. Gary, you grew up on the farm in southwestern Minnesota. What are your favorite memories of growing up on the farm?
Well, I guess favorite memories were just being out in the country, having a lot of freedom, and be able to do what you wanted to do, I guess.
Did you get into tinkering on stuff right away?
Well, we always had stuff to fix, because back in that day, we always had to help Dad fix things. We milked cows and did grain farming, too, so there was always something to fix. And then if we had free time, we always tried to build toys for ourselves, whether trying to build our first go-kart or whatever we could kind of tinker with on their side.
When I called you last week to talk to you about scheduling the interview, I didn't know you were directly affected by the tornadoes that hit Grenada. You saw the power of Mother Nature firsthand.
Yes, we did. A friend of mine just bought a new Chevy pickup, or GMC pickup, and he stopped by and we were outside looking at it and checking over his truck, and he said, "Jump in, let's go for a ride." And went through the back streets of Grenada, and then next thing you know, I told him we should put his truck in my garage for a night, protect it. And we drove by the elevator, and the grain bin took off right when we drove by him. So we seen the storm and the damage caused right after that.
And you are still in the process of cleaning up at your home.
We're actually trying to rebuild. I just got done talking to some more contractors and stuff. Outbuildings are kind of destroyed. House is destroyed. All the windows are gone and rough. So, yeah, we're looking for a place to rent for a while and try to rebuild our home.
Your brother actually started racing first. How did he get started, and what was your parents' reaction?
I was 15 years old. I was working for the school in the summertime for extra money, trying to save up money to buy a car for the street. But we always loved racing so much since we were little that we decided to build a race car. So then I used all my money that I earned towards that race car, and we built the first car for my brother, and then he drove for a year in like a street stock class. Our parents were totally against racing and stuff, and my dad told my eldest brother that if he wanted to be part of the farming, he had to quit racing immediately or he was off the farm. So at that point, after that year, we kind of gave up racing. I was kind of out of money anyway. I had a 15-year-old kid, and so I didn't race again until 1981. I couldn't get away from it, I guess. Got the bug back and built another car.
When you and your brother first teamed up to start that racing team, you didn't even have a garage to work on the car.
No, we didn't have a garage at all. The only thing we had was a tree, and we pulled the motor out of his street car to put in the race car, and then we'd go to the races, get home and stuff, and we'd have to switch the motor back on the weekend, on a Sunday afternoon, go back to that same tree and pull the motor out of the race car, put it back in his street car so he could go to work during the week. And we did that most of the summer. We had a race motor. We were getting ready, and we'd put the race motor in, and we'd get it running and stuff, and it just wouldn't run right. We couldn't figure out what was wrong. We found out in the long run it was the distributor, the advance was locking up or wouldn't advance. So we had no timing in the car and stuff, and it took us all summer to figure that out. So all summer long, yeah, we switched motors back and forth out under the tree, shade tree mechanic style, which was pretty good for a bunch of 15, 16-year-old kids.
Talk about the dangers of a block and tackle pulling a motor if you forget to take your hand off the chain.
Well, yeah, that'd be back to when we started there. We were under the tree changing motors and stuff, and we had to wiggle it in, get it into position. And my cousin, Mike Tani, always helped on the car and stuff. And we thought we had it lined up, and my brother lowered the block and tackle, the chain hoist. My cousin was guiding the motor in with his hand on the chain, and his fingers went right up into that chain hoist and kind of pulled the tips of all of his fingers off, and it was pretty bloody and sore. And then he didn't want to tell his mom or anything, and he had to go to football practice. So we just wrapped him up good, and he went to football practice that way. They were pretty throbbing and sore for quite a few days.
I can't imagine what that felt like.
I think we got in a little trouble over it, too. His parents weren't happy with us either. Like I said, we were both 15 at the time, but we wanted to race, so we did some foolish things at the time, just whatever it took to get the car to the racetrack. Like I said, we didn't have a trailer or anything. So we'd drive the car on the back roads in the gravel to the racetrack, and then we'd hook up a log chain to pull it the rest of the way on the highway to get to the track, because we couldn't afford a trailer, and that's the only way we could get the race car there.
Your very first race car for yourself, that purchase didn't really go as planned.
No, it didn't. That was back in, let's say, 1981. They used to have the All-Star race at Fairmont, and then watching Al Thompson's voice pass and stuff, and a few other guys. Well, there's this Ford out of Monticello, Iowa, Gus Hughes. And we're good friends now, but end up purchasing that old 63.5 Ford from him, and it was supposed to be complete left motor tranny. And then I ended up getting it, and there was quite a few more parts that were missing, but live and learn, I guess, how to purchase race cars and stuff. It's better to buy them at the track or buy it from somebody that's quit racing so you get all the parts. But it was just part of the learning curve. It turned out to be a good race car, and me and Gus Hughes got to be good friends through it. So I learned a lesson and gained a new friend from it, so it worked out.
That was that red and white number 45, correct?
Yeah, it was a red and white 45. It's 63.5 Ford Galaxy 500. It was a big car compared to racing against all the Chevelles and the smaller cars, Camaros at certain tracks. So it was a big old car, but it worked good and handled good. And then we ended up breaking an axle and destroying that. It'd be in the All-Star race at Fairmont Special Race. In the fall, we ended up destroying that car. We did win one feature with it my first year out at Fairmont with that. We'd race that at Fairmont, Webb City once in a while. But Fairmont and Mason City in 1981 when I started, were my two tracks I ran weekly. And after we destroyed that car in 1982, we took some of the parts that didn't get wrecked out of that car, and then we built our own car. And it was another 63 and a half forward. And so in 82, we ran stock car, street stock back then. And then it was even a better car. It worked really good, handled nice. It was just a fun car to drive, and we won quite a few features with that. I think we won track championship with that at Fairmont. And then everywhere we went, we were competitive or won.
You also did some limited late model racing.
Yeah, it was after the 82 season into 1983, and I was going to build a smaller car, a Mustang. I wanted to get rid of some of that weight. And I was going to build another stock car, and then started building this Mustang that I bought from a guy in Fairmont here. And we were lightening it up and redoing it and stuff. And then Rick Oscarson had an old Dwayne Hansen first design Howell car. And he bought a new, I think, Howell car from Bob Harris Racing. Anyway, he talked to me and he says, you should just buy this car from me and move up to Sportsman and limited late model. And I kept telling him I couldn't afford it and stuff. And he made me a pretty good deal on it. So then I sold the stock car stuff, and I moved into a limited late model, and then I always ran forward before that. And then Ron Barton and Barton Engines said he wouldn't sponsor me anymore unless I switched to Chevy, so I switched over to Chevy. That's how I got into Chevy cars. Anyway, we got that car built, and they had rule changes in 1983 for Sportsman car, and I bought a lot of the parts out of Bob Chirac. He went to lightweight stuff. So I bought all his heavy spindles and his old steel wheels or some of his old aluminum wheels and some of his other parts from him to get my car complete. And then I think from there, first race, we went to Omaha, Nebraska, some special. It paid pretty good money. We ran like limited late model down there, and we had some trouble at first, but then we were running towards the front. And I don't know, we kind of impressed Bob Harris, and Willie Kraft got to know him, and Bob Chirac helped. And so going to Omaha, we didn't finish that good. We ended up getting up top three, coming out of the back, out to the top three, and then we got tore up at the end. But we ran strong, impressed some guys where I got to know a lot of late model drivers and became friends with me for the rest of my life, I guess.
Was that the same group Al Haina ran with that ran at Cresco and Mason City?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember, I guess. I'd have to ask Haina about that. But we ran with American Outlaw Late Model Association. They were based out, like, down by Des Moines, and they sanctioned Webster City and a few other tracks. And that's when the big wedge cars were coming in, the big wedge late models. And so we ran kind of as a filler class with them. We could run spoilers, but we had to run a smaller spoiler. And then we ran as a filler class wherever them American late models would run. I'd run Webster City weekly. And then at Fairmont, I had Hoosier tires and stuff and late model parts. So at Fairmont, I would run in the late model class, and then I would switch tires, carburetor, whatever else we had to switch to make it legal. And then we'd go to Webster City, or we'd go touring with them outlaw late model guys, which was a lot of fun. Got to just go to a lot of different tracks, hang out with all my heroes, I guess, the good late model drivers. So it's probably one of the most fun years I've had. Kind of expensive in the late models or limited late models, but it was a fun year. Enjoyed it a lot.
When did you get your first modified, and what do you remember about that very first car?
Well, the first modified would have been 1985, and that's when racing got real expensive. After 83, 84, all the wedge late models and stuff came in, and the sprint cars were pretty much unlimited. Everything got expensive, and people were kind of going broke, and racing was hurting. So they were trying to come up with something new. I believe Denny Hausman was the promoter at Fairmont at the time, and he wanted to bring in modifieds. So IMSA modifies as a cheaper filler class to get something affordable, make racing come back again, bring fans back. So then Ron Barton came to me. I quit racing in 83. I was kind of out of money again. So I was going to give up on racing. And then in 85, Ron Barton and Lon Hargan approached me and asked me if they built a modified, would I drive for them? And I said, yeah, I would do it. And they were going to pay me something. I said, no, whatever we win, we'll just put back into the car. So we started building the car. We went down to Mike Frieden down in Iowa, bought one of his Frieden chassis. We just bought the cage kit because his were built on a Ford frame, and Mr. Barton didn't like Ford stuff too much. So we built on a Chevelle car, and then we worked with Danny Hausman and IMCA, and they wanted to promote IMCA so we could build a little bit of the car. We'd start welding the chassis up, and then we'd have to quit, and we'd go around, take it to shows to promote it and stuff, and then they'd let us build a little bit farther or put the interior in, and then we'd have to quit, take it around to some more car shows or race car shows, and try to promote IMCA modified show, and you could build these cars cheap and that anybody could kind of build them, and then you could come up with your own ideas and designs. And then we kept doing that until it was a complete roller, and then we started racing that in 1985. And we'd run Fairmont, Webster City, hit a lot of specials. They had national events. At that time was the big money for modifieds. So we bounced around to some of them, and we'd run the national events. I don't know if they paid $2,000 to win. So at that time, it was big money. And we did that most that year, and we won a national at Fairmont, ran fast. Everyone we went, it was a fast car, good car. Got to know Keith Strunk real good. He built cars for Harris the same year. And Keith, when we were building that, Keith worked for Bob Harris. Keith helped build the first Harris modified, and then we'd go back and forth looking at things he did on his car for ideas, and he'd look at stuff on our car, kind of share ideas, and we were always good friends racing. It was just a lot of fun that first year.
Back in those early days of the modifieds, some of those cars were pretty crude compared to the modifieds we see today.
Yeah, they weren't as high-tech, but there's a lot of guys that drop down out of late models or sprint cars or other classes into the modifieds because they just wanted to continue racing and they couldn't afford the other classes. So if you looked at some of them old cars, some of them had some good technology, some stuff that they won't even let you do now, which would be cheating now. Like the Frieden cars, he didn't have a seat in them because he didn't want the weight. So a lot of the cars wouldn't have a seat or other things. He just tried to build them as light as he could, and he had a lot of power for the weight ratio for the tires. So the big trick's just getting them to hook up that skinny tire just like it is nowadays. Speed is speed, no matter if you're in a sprint car or a modified or a late model. You still try to get the most out of whatever the rules allow you. So it was fun. At that time, everybody could think out of the box. It was more like my heroes of back in the day of the old-time modifieds or late models. Everybody thought of things or went to the junkyards or dreamed up their own ideas and did their own engineering. And it made it fun to see what guys would do and how people would try to outthink each other to make more speed.
Is it true that some guys would squirt oil through holes in their firewall to make it look like the engine was done at the end of the race so they wouldn't get claimed?
Yes, that's true. There's quite a few guys that did that, or I'd say a lot of them are a lot of the fast guys. They didn't have rules at that time. We helped make some of the rules, I guess, whether it was me or Mark Noble or whoever we raced against or whoever else, Wayne Larson, whoever was fast. You looked in the rules at the gray areas, and if it didn't say you couldn't do it, you did things like that. So, like, once in a while, we had a little tank with a jet and a line run through a brake line up into the header. So the last lap or two, you just hit a switch and shoot a little oil into the header, make it look like it was blowing up or whatever. Other guys had tricks where they'd cut a little bit of their valve cover gasket. So as the engine would heat up and end of the race, the oil's thin, it would start seeping on the headers, looking like their motor was going. And it's kind of fun talking to either Mark Noble or any of the old drivers. Some of the stuff now, they'll tell us, you know, what they did or what they did to make them fast or what they did to scare people off. And everybody was thinking, I guess, trying to keep from being claimed or doing things to make it faster. It was all fun. It was part of the game, just racing. And that was the best part of racing, I guess, is building stuff and seeing what people did and to make stuff fast. And I still enjoy that part of it. I go to Marty Pringle's old-time stuff. It's fun to look at old cars and see what people did back in the day and stuff and how they made them fast. And got to meet Ed Sanger and stuff and talk to him what he did to make his cars fast. And all that stuff's always fun to hear what people do to make them fast and their ideas. And I've always enjoyed that part of racing.
One of the most beautiful modifieds I've ever seen is your X car that said Daddy's Money. The funny thing is, it really wasn't Daddy's money, but some people thought it was.
Yeah, it wasn't my dad's money at all. I think we talked about it a little bit earlier. My dad was against racing, or us boys, there's four of us boys. He didn't want us to have nothing to do with racing. He figured it was a waste of money, and if we had time to do stuff like that, he had more work for us to do on the farm. So, yeah, he was totally against it, didn't like it at all. But daddy's money was a saloon and eatery out of Fairmont, Minnesota, and I went around and talked to people. It was still a young driver, trying to find sponsors and stuff, and I told them I'd give the best spot on the car for whoever gave the most money that year. I told them that I would paint it up, I'd try to make it special, try to draw attraction to their business, and try to promote them and do the best I could, and if I could do good for them, you know, maybe they could do a little better for me the next year, because I knew for a business, you just don't want to give your money away, so I tried to do the best advertising I could for them that way. So we got exposure with that, I guess, but the daddy's money was kind of catchy. A lot of people wouldn't see the saloon and eatery under it and thought my dad was giving the money, but no, it was daddy's money was saloon and eatery, and they sponsored and treat us well, and I tried to advertise and treat them well. And we got exposure at Boone, Iowa. The first year we went to Boone, we ended up winning the qualifying and got on pole with it and stuff. So we had pretty good luck that year. Didn't have as good luck in the feature. I think we got ripped up. Then the next year we went to Boone, and then Stock Car Racing magazine was there, and they liked my car, and they thought it was catchy with daddy's money, and they liked the big red X on the car. And so they end up doing a story and stuff in Stock Car Racing magazine. And it was a real nice write-up they did and good advertising. So that's how we got the daddy's money part. I always wanted something different. It used to be Car 45 for years, and then there started to be other 45s, so I wanted to pick something different. I just trying to think who I liked or what I wanted to do different. Well, it was a combination of, I always liked Ron Droog's cars out of Aberdeen, South Dakota. He'd always come to the Gopher 50 at Owatonna. I always thought he had sharp cars. Also, Billy Moyer's paint job with the red and yellow. His old cars, I liked that. So I put the two combinations together, the daddy's money on the car, and it just seemed to click, and daddy's money and my other sponsors were happy. We got exposure and seemed bright on the car, right on the track, so it would show up and stuff. Because the previous car in 1985, that was that first modified, drove for Ron Barton and stuff, and he let us pick the color out, and me and my brother did help me build the car, and he got to choose the color, and he wanted black with chrome lettering and stuff, and Ron Barton was against black. He said black's not good on a racetrack, especially a poor lit racetrack. It could be dangerous. But he let us do it since we did all the work on it, and that's how that car ended up getting wrecked. And we got sideways on the track, and somebody came down the straightaway and didn't see it and hit that car and wrecked it. So when I built the Daddy's Money car, I wanted something bright, so that's why it was yellow and red, I guess, the long version of it.
Many fans may not know you actually ran a midget.
Yeah, that'd been back in 1984. Like I said, after 85, that modified was wrecked. I didn't own it. And I was still staying out of racing. And then one of the guys that always helped, Lon Hargan and his brother, Dave Hargan, owned a midget. And they asked if I wanted to drive one time. And they let me drive over at Jackson, had some special. I think there was 47 midgets and had the time trial. And I went out there, and I think I was seventh fastest midget out of 47. And they were happy with that. And then we went into the heat and the feature there. Well, it was set up, they had two soft torsion bars on it. So it'd roll over and it'd bicycle. I'd be on two wheels all the way through the corner at Jackson. So we'd bicycle, but I'd have to back off or back steer to get the car back on the ground sometimes so I wouldn't flip it. But we still ended up seventh that night at Jackson against some pretty good midget drivers. So they were impressed with that. So then they wanted me to drive again. So we went down to, I think it was Davenport, Iowa, had two tracks at the time. Did a half mile and then a quarter mile. So they set it up stiffer. They put stiffer torsion bars in it and stuff. And we went down to Davenport to race and ended up putting us on the quarter mile, which we weren't set up for. But I ran against some pretty good drivers. Like I said, there's a bunch of IndyCar drivers there. Johnny Parsons Jr. was there. A lot of good drivers. And then I had to run a yellow ribbon on my roll cage since I was a rookie. So then a lot of them seen that on the car, and then a lot of them IndyCar drivers just come with their helmet bags, and they tried to hire buy the write-off from me or stuff, but I ended up driving it and didn't do as good that night. We didn't have the car set up for that quarter-mile track, but it was a lot of fun driving that midget. It was real fast and quick, you know, with the fuel injection and stuff. And then after that, we were supposed to head to Bellevue, Kansas for the Nationals, and then something happened where we didn't end up going, didn't get to go to that show. I was looking forward to being on that fast track since half miles and the bigger tracks. I always like the speed and not shutting down.
What is your favorite racing memory from your career?
Well, it's hard to say. I have a lot of good memories, I guess. One of the favorites was being Boone, getting pole. I didn't even know I was on pole. I didn't know I ran good enough. I thought I had more to do, but that was fun. Winning the Jackson Nationals was fun, but no, some of the most fun, I guess, have been back in 83, run the limited late model or sportsman car and traveling with the Outlaw late models. That was fun. Like I said, to get to race with some of them guys, that was a lot of fun. And then when I came back in, I think it was 88, I came back, made the first Daddy's Money car and ran modifieds again, and then started running against a lot of guys that I used to idolize. Like I got to run against Bob Hill and Bob Weber and Willie Kraft, and I guess back in 85, ran with Bob Chirac and stuff. And it was kind of fun to race against my heroes and stuff, you know, and learn from them. They would beat me. I ended up beating them some, too. And so just to earn their respect, I guess, as a driver, and to get to race with my heroes that I still respect today. So I guess that would be one of the biggest things I like, because I've always been a fan of racing. And for a little farm boy to race against my heroes, that was a dream come true, I guess.
Gary, thank you so much for being with us here on The Dirt Show and sharing all of your great memories, and look forward to seeing you at one of the race reunions over the winter.
Well, thank you for having me, and like I said, I'd like to thank Denny Garbers. I'm sure a lot of people remember him and stuff, and I guess I'd like to thank everybody that helped out in my career. There's Bob Stiers out of Rochester. He's gave me some pointers through the years, and Crimmins out at Fort Dodge, and Bob Chirac, Willie Kraft. There's lots of people to thank. And I'd like to thank my pit crew. I had some of the best pit crew around to do the things they did. So thank you for having me on the radio, I guess.
Thanks for being with us.
Only Powerlift has been building hydraulic doors continuously since 1992, longer than anyone else in the industry. Only Powerlift provides local manufacturing, sales, and service throughout North America, giving you confidence in knowing we will always be there when and where you need us. Only Powerlift installs each and every door, making your project hassle-free from start to finish. Only Powerlift has a lifetime warranty on the structure of the door. Yes, we have that much faith and experience in the quality of the doors. So, what hydraulic door should you buy? Only Powerlift. Contact us today at 507-374-9306.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miner's Outdoor.
Miner's Outdoor, your total source Husqvarna dealer in Blooming Prairie, has everything your yard needs. From chainsaws, leaf blowers, and weed trimmers to zero-turn mowers and everything in between. That's what being your Husqvarna total source dealer is all about. Stop in today to see the best selection in quality Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. That's Miner's Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Miner's Outdoor, Major Tough.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there, whether it's a small or large project, with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna, licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packaging when it comes to shipping your business products? Hi, this is Ryan. Here at Foamcraft Packaging, we provide a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all of our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call toll-free 1-844-655-2365. That's 844-655-2365. 2365.
When it comes to buying the parts that will put your race car in victory lane, all you want to know are the facts. Fact, Arrow Racing Wheels can be seen on the dirt and asphalt tracks across the nation. Fact, Arrow Racing Wheels has become the largest premier racing wheel supplier by supplying quality and durability at an affordable price. Fact, the Arrow 59 Series wheel has won more Monster Energy, NASCAR, Xfinity, and Camping World Truck Series races than all other brands combined. As a matter of fact, if you want to run with the winners, see arrowracingwheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Wolf & Sons Yard Service has heavy equipment. This is Scott Wolf. Whether you need a basement dug, a building removed, footings for a remodel, an RV, camper, or boat pad, rock, sand, or dirt hauled, or even a driveway or parking lot road graded. Call 455-3524.
Welcome back to a special segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Matt from Walker Performance Filtration Systems. And Matt, winners use winning products. When you look at the lineup of drivers using your filtration systems, Ron Hornaday Racing, Terry McCarl, Tanner Thorson in the sprint cars, Ethan Mitchell in the Outlaw carts, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, we definitely have quite a lineup. It's something that we're very proud of. We started from some humble roots, worked with some of the best teams that we could find around to develop the best products that we possibly could.
Here in our area, drivers are using the 14x4, the 14x3, and the 14x3.5 round washable filters. The word from all the drivers, no dust ring when you remove the filter off the carburetor. Now that is a noticeable difference when it comes to protecting your most valuable asset, your engine.
Yeah, absolutely. The dust ring is something a lot of people kind of came to be used to and seeing, and we wanted to get away with that. Number one, first and foremost, we're a filtration company. That was our number one goal, is to make sure that we're protecting your investment as much as we possibly could. And if we can gain you some horsepower on the other side of things, then, you know, that's just a cherry on top, I guess.
And you mentioned horsepower. I even went as far as to have one of your filters dyno-tested against the competition. You could see the difference in horsepower. Now, I'm not talking 50 horsepower, but when you're coming off turn 4 heading for the checkered flag right next to your main competitor and you have equal cars and equal equipment, it's a noticeable advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the horsepower thing is kind of funny. It really depends on what time of day you dyno, the temperature, the fuel, the car. It all changes. But if we can gain you 1 horsepower or 2 horsepower, that's a great thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's really not all about just the maximum horsepower. Something that we've been getting into more and more is giving people the opportunity to tune with their air filter, which is something that people aren't really used to seeing. So we offer actually now 3 different filter options that will give you that added level of tunability when it comes to your engine. So one for qualifying, one for kind of your mid-race segment, and then once things get really dry and slick and real heavy and you want to kill a little bit of power but need that maximum protection for your engine, we offer that as well.
And people who really enjoy diving into racing and racing history and old technology, even when you go way back into the late 40s and 50s and the Bonneville Salt Flat cars and the old track roadsters, those guys were already figuring out an engine was really a huge air pump. And the more air you can get into it, and clean air that is, the more horsepower you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those components. You need fuel, you need spark, and you need air. And if those 3 don't come together in the right combination, you're going to run into trouble. So that's something that we work towards, is doing our part and giving you the best possible air. Like you said, you know, you want that air straight, you want it clean, and you want it directly into the intake system. We work tirelessly to give to you.
Walker Performance Filtration has been building air filters for more than 20 years with an in-house flow bench and a dust-holding test.
Yeah, so we've been doing filters for about 25 years. We hold contracts with some huge names throughout the country, some government contracts, some things like that. So we had to get some stuff in-house that would be able to give us the opportunity to do some testing here, as well as sending our products out for third-party verification. So, yeah, we have our own flow bench and our own dust-holding tests that we do here in-house to verify that everything that we're sending out is up to our standards.
For the sprint car guys, you offer the injector stack setup. You also offer the 14-inch round for the carburetor motors.
Yeah, so anything that's injected, we offer what it is. It's a full package. So you're not actually just purchasing an air filter. You're purchasing an entire system, which is something that a lot of people aren't really used to. And what that does is it gives you the opportunity to really refine your tuning of your engine down to an exact T of where the driver needs the car to be and where the track dictates that it needs to be at as well. And with the 14x4 as well, like I said, we offer 3 different filtration options that will allow you to tune just using the filter.
Late model and modified drivers also have the choice of the 14-inch round filters, too.
Yep, absolutely. And that's a segment that we're really growing into these days a lot faster than we had expected. We gave that filter to a couple drivers, sold a few of them. It wasn't going crazy, and all of a sudden, business just started booming, and we're selling those things by the hundreds on a daily basis.
You also offer kart and micro sprint filters.
Yep, Absolutely. So just like with anything else, we partnered up with the best drivers and teams that we could possibly find across the country and across the world, really, and developed what we think is the absolute best infiltration systems that are on the market. They're used by the best drivers and best teams. They're all manufactured 100% hand-built here in Southern California using the absolute best products and best materials known to man. For our side of things that we do on the other side of business, we're mandated to use top-tier, high-quality components for applications that literally cannot fail. So you know that when you get a product from us that it's 100% quality checked, everything is 100% intact and good to go for the highest level of demand.
Watch for drivers running Walker Performance filtration products at a track near you next season. I always say, ask somebody who's already using it to get the information you want. And the Dirt Show and Walker Performance will be teaming up and doing some special giveaways and promotions in the 2019 season. And I look forward to teaming up with you, Matt, and getting these products in the hands of the drivers so they can give you some feedback.
Absolutely, and we look forward to it as well, Clay, and I appreciate the opportunity, and we love to give back to the racing community because it's given us so much.
Winning drivers rely on VP Racing Fuels to optimize performance. Now get the same benefit with VP Mativs, offering race fuel technology for your daily driver. Increase fuel mileage and restore power to your streetcar with VP's fuel system cleaner, or give your race car a boost with VP's Octanium, improving your fuel's octane by up to 8 numbers and giving you the throttle response your performance car was built to deliver. That's VP Mativs, available at your local AutoZone store or at VPRacingFuels.com.
Rhino Ag believes in building products with quality from the inside out. We start by hiring farmers to work in manufacturing building products for farmers. They know the best about the day-to-day demands the farmer expects. Then every Rhino product is factory filled with Lucas Oil to make sure every part on a Rhino is quality from the inside out. For a dealer near you, visit rhinoag.com.
The big boys with the big toys. Dale Enterprises.
Speaking of big toys, the boys at Dale Enterprises have added an excavator-mounted forestry mulcher to their lineup. This unit will turn your trees, brush, or shrubs on your terraces and waterways into dust. Drainage ditch dredging, site prep, building site demo, complete septic system service, pumping and field drainage. Dale Enterprises, with four generations of experience, are the boys with all the toys. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Call Dale Enterprises today at 685-2148.
Fast Shafts owner Pat Fagan is a racer himself who has been testing and building drive shafts for himself and teams all over the nation since 1992. Fast Shaft drive shafts are the number one choice for over 90% of the major modified chassis builders. Drive shafts, drive shaft repair, 9-inch Ford center sections, slip yokes, rear end yokes, ring and pinions, bearings, spools, gears, shim kits, and more. Call Fast Shafts today. Made by racers. Four racers. 800-622-6617.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers car care products. Justice Brothers products are manufactured for industrial, agricultural, heavy equipment, and automotive equipment. Their high-quality products are used by today's top racing teams. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to automotive enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers Car Care Products Distributor today at 952-934-7354 or visit our website at justicebrothers.com. Go with a winner. Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
Welcome back to a special segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be joined by Chad Meyer. And Chad, one of my favorite places on the planet is the Kossuth County Ag and Motorsports Museum in Algona, Iowa. And if fans have a chance to get down there before the end of the year, I highly encourage it, because what a great place to spend a Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Saturdays and Sundays, we're open here in Algona at the Kossuth County Ag and Motorsports Museum. We're open, like I said, Saturdays and Sundays, 1 to 4, and those will be our hours throughout the rest of the year, up until the December 31st time period. Those will be our hours, and then we take bit of a break to regroup over the winter months, and generally, I believe it's around either April 1st or May 1st is when we'll open back up again. But if a group wants to come through, certainly reach out to us on our website, thekossuthmuseum.com. Our contact information is located there, and if somebody wants to come outside of those hours, don't be afraid to give us a call. We'll certainly do all we can to make some time for you.
Chad, you had a chance to make a great trip down to the Race for Hope 74 at Batesville, Arkansas, and I saw the pictures on Facebook. Looked like a really cool experience.
Well, it really was. I was really amped up all season long once I found out that I was going to be announcing that show, obviously for the Speedway and for IMCA TV. It was a great experience. I think what shocked a lot of people was once they found out just how young my co-announcer down there was, Wes Gwaltney, student at Arkansas State, and there was times, maybe intimidate's not the right word, but my point is his grasp and level of knowledge of racing across that area and even obviously up into Iowa and Minnesota was fantastic, and it was just a pleasure to work with him and to work that show. I have family down in that area, so it was a really neat experience for me to announce, you know, one of the biggest IMC Modified shows in the country there. I encourage people to put on your bucket list. I mean, if you have one that you want to travel to, head somewhere different, see a different part of the country. There's a lot of stereotypes about Arkansas, and they will laugh about some of those, meaning maybe a little bit of an agreement. My point being, tourism in Arkansas is a wonderful experience, and you really need to check it out. The race was terrific.
And I know I mentioned to you off the air, typically Hancock County Speedway is our first event of the season because usually you have a little bit better weather down there in the spring than we have up here in Minnesota, and it is their 25th anniversary season next year.
Yeah, time certainly gets away, you know, when you're not paying attention. It's hard to believe 25 years of the Hancock County Speedway, and, you know, I haven't been there for all of them. You know, when that track opened, you know, I wasn't doing announcing at that time and frankly didn't make it there very often. But it's been fun to dig into their early history as years have gone on. And I think certainly the one event that has cemented the legacy of the Hancock County Speedway was the Night of 1,000 Stars, which was established in the very first year of the Speedway. And it's going to be exciting to open the doors another time, the Hancock County Speedway. And, you know, been fortunate, and I mean this, you know, with all respect and certainly being humble, there's only been two full-time announcers at the Hancock County Speedway, and certainly been a joy to be the second one to come through the gate there.
I know fans are sad to see racing in our area coming to an end, but there's still a lot of events. If you want to get out and travel a little and have some fun, the Duel in the Desert is coming up November 7th through the 10th.
Yes, it is. And I guess the one thing I would say, obviously trying to get out to a dirt track at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, that's a little more of a jaunt than even heading to Batesville. All the action will be on IMCA TV again this year. The Duel in the Desert Modifieds race for $7,777 for their top prize on Saturday during the Duel in the Desert. Obviously, the top prize in the mods, they play on the lucky number 7 in gambling lore. The Carl Chevrolet Northern Sport Mods will chase a $1,777 top check. It is the 21st annual Duel in the Desert of the Half Mile Speedway, and I'm looking forward to it. I certainly don't mean this to be about me, but excited to make my first trip out to Las Vegas and be a part of that event. And like I said, that is a bit of a jaunt for folks to get out there, but certainly encourage you to, at a minimum, check it out on IMCA TV. We'll certainly have all the action. It's going to be fun. That's either been the Jeremy Payne show or Grabowski and a couple others seem to win that show here over the last handful of years, so it's going to be fun to see if somebody can knock one of those guys down to second or third, maybe.
Another highlight of my 2018 racing season, and many fans in our area, was the Harris Clash at Deer Creek, and in the October issue of Dirt Modified magazine in the gallery section is one of the coolest pictures I've ever seen. It's actually going up on the wall in my office. It's from behind in the announcer's booth, and it's you and Todd on the microphones looking out over the track, and what a cool night for everybody.
Well, it was, and Clayne, we talked about it before the event happened, and I'm pretty sure we had talked about it after it had occurred. I think we're all eagerly anticipating next year's event. I don't know that the date has been exactly announced just yet, but it has certainly been announced that the Harris Clash will return to the Deer Creek Speedway, and I know both the Speedway, I've just seen Bob Harris, and he's thinking about how that show might all come together for 2019. So lots of planning already in place, and I think we're all just hoping for maybe what would hopefully be like a normal summer's night, right? Don't have to fight any rain or fog or anything else, and we can kind of maybe sit down and enjoy that race just a little more, because obviously we're in pretty big hurry to get it done, to get it in between those two weather events last year. But it was fantastic. There wasn't anybody that left that show. I mean, we started a few hours late, and the place was still packed when we finished. And I think that's a pretty good testament. And, getting a chance to work with Todd and the Deer Creek Speedway staff, man, everybody up there is just so fantastic to work with. And, yeah, looking forward to 2019 for sure.
You know, Chad, I don't think many people remember a race where they actually had to keep the cars pulling out on the track as soon as a race was done to keep moving, to keep the fog lifted above the racing surface.
Well, yeah, you're right. And you know what? There was a fair amount of truth to that. You know, Darrell Waltrip on his NASCAR broadcast will carry on about his vortex theory and how cars in the speedway keep the rain away. I'm not sure I completely buy that, but it did seem to lift the fog enough that we could finish the Harris Clash, and it was a great show.
Chad, thank you so much for all you do for racing. Love to listen to you on the mic down at Kossuth County Speedway and also Hancock County Speedway in Britt. Can't wait to hear you back at the Harris Clash, and thank you for taking time to be with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Well, I appreciate that. Man, what a list of guests you've had all season long. I know you had Gary Shumsky on this one, and certainly going to be one that I'm going to dig back in the archives when my year slows down here a little bit and get caught up on some of those interviews you had. You've had some great ones for sure.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Extreme Powder Coating.
Colder weather means getting back to working on those projects in your shop. Shop time is valuable, so do it right the first time with a durable powder coat finish from Extreme Powder Coating in Blooming Prairie. With over 6,000 colors and many textures to choose from, call 583-7448 today.
Race fans, the biggest secret at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum isn't really a secret at all. Every race night in Knoxville, race fans can purchase tickets to sit on the museum's second floor in climate-controlled comfort. So whether it's hot outside or cold and windy, it's always just right on the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's second floor, right on top of the museum. All you have to do is call in advance or come into the museum on Saturday afternoon to purchase second-floor tickets to watch the sprint car races from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in climate-controlled comfort. And yes, there are still a number of four-day Knoxville Nationals second floor tickets available for this year's 58th annual 5-Hour Energy Knoxville Nationals, but those won't last long. So the next time you're in Knoxville on race day and would like to watch the sprint car races from climate-controlled comfort, stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check out our second floor seating. You'll be glad you did, and we'll see you in Knoxville.
Cabela's and Duradoc are synonymous with the great outdoors. Now these two businesses have teamed up to show you the best in dock technology. Duradoc from the City of Lakes, Clear Lake, Iowa, now has product displays inside the Cabela's store, located just north of Owatonna on I-35. Stop by and see what a modern, high-quality, long-lasting dock from Duradoc looks like up close. Because let's face it, when you're at the lake, you have many more important things to think about than dock maintenance. See the outdoor dream team, Duradoc and Cabela's in Owatonna, and the new dock displays. See Duradoc.us.
Welcome back to a special segment here on The Dirt Show, and this will be the final time in 2018 we will talk to Andy from Agnition. And Andy, people who have been listening over the season, let's recap. What is Agnition?
Yeah, Clayton, that's great. You know, Agnition is a locally third-generation family-owned company. We're run out of Marshall, Minnesota, where we manufacture and make crop solutions. And with Agnition, we really focus on what we can do to help drive soil health. And we make a few different products that can be applied in a couple different ways. We've got Generate, which is a product that works really well as an in-furrow or foliar product that can help get your plants off to a good start and early vigor. We do that by stimulating the microbes that are already in the soil and working with them to get them working harder for your plants to get more of that fertilizer from in the field to into the plants. And then our other product line is Commence, where we deliver products through seed treatments for soybeans, wheat, and even corn. So kind of doing the same thing there, getting that plant off to a really good start by focusing on the microbial partners.
And let's talk about the experience behind the name.
The background from Agnition, we're actually owned by Relco, which is a company that's got a vast experience in working with products and technologies and delivering our own technologies, where our core technology actually has been derived from components that are used in the rumen of cattle. So we've leveraged that knowledge and technology to actually implement that into the ag world to see that the soil actually works a lot like the rumen does of getting nutrients into the plant, just like the rumen gets nutrients into a cow. And so that technology and background has actually proved really well, and we've worked really hard to validate that those products work through testing and research and, you know, have some pretty good staff and knowledge behind our products.
You mentioned you are a local company, but you also cover a large region, and you even have an international presence.
Products can be found throughout the grain belt in the United States as well as up into Canada. And like you said, in the international presence, we work down through Latin America to Australia, Asia, Europe. We work in probably 20, 25 different countries are using these products, you know, and having great success.
Another word that came up during the season was harvestability, and I'm sure a lot of the guys have noticed if they don't have good plant stands, they're laying on the ground right now and they're trying to pick those up. During the off season, when they're thinking about their input plan for next season, Agnition should be part of that plan, and how can they find out more?
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, Agnition can really do a lot with that, and there's no better time to be thinking about harvestability than when you're running that combine through that corn that's laying flat. And some small investments on the front end can really help with that stand. And if you want to learn more about how you can implement that into next year's plan, reach out to us at agnition.com or go to the Dirt Show when there's a sponsorship title with Agnition there. You can click on that to reach out to us for more information.
Andy, thank you for being with us all season long. It's been great, and look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thanks, Clayton. I appreciate it.
You're coming out of turn four and heading to the checker flag. You can feel your engine pulling for all it's worth. Is it worthy of winning a championship? Hi, this is Corey at Byers Engine Service in Rochester. We spent decades building racing engines for some of the biggest names in Minnesota racing history, including Jason Cummins, national championship winning engine in 2017. If you want the confidence that you have a winning motor under the hood, then call us at Byers Engine Service in Rochester today at 507-282-5586. The rest of the car is up to you. We'll take care of the horsepower.
This is your old friend Speed the Sauce Man. Welcome to the Dirt Track segment brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
Last Friday night, October 19th, the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars were at Lakeside Speedway in Kansas, with Darren Pittman taking home the 10 grand and the checkered flag over Donnie Schatz. And the USAC non-wing sprint cars were at Kokomo Speedway in Indiana, with Justin Grant winning over Dave Darlin, and local driver Brian Van Merveren finishing in 14th. We were at Ogilvie Raceway last Friday night, October 19th, for the Topless Nationals. What a great night of racing it was. In the 30-lap A modified feature, it was a number 4 of Jeremy Nelson over Shane Sabraski. In the B modifieds, Jeff Lean over Shane Howell. In the mod 4s, Michael Rebar over Dustin Holquist. In the Sport Compacts, it was Matthew Dittman over Matt Pedersen. In the Street Stocks, Charlie Scheck over Kyle Howland. And in the Super Stocks, Tim Johnson over Nick Oreskovic. And last Saturday night, October 20th, the World Outlaw Sprint Cars were at Dodge City Raceway Park in Kansas. Donnie Schatz over Ian Madsen. That's it for the Dirt Show for the 2018 season. We hope to see a few of our local race fans down at Webster City Speedway tonight. We'll be there. and I will talk to you again on Saturday, April 6, 2019. See you then.
Lou Fager's Racing in Delano, Minnesota is this area's authorized Rocket and Shaw Chassis Repair Shop, offering a full-service online store at fagersracing.com. Log on and join our email for updated newsletters and check out the LFRE Superstock, Modified, and Late Model Chassis, including all the IMCA and Wasota parts you need. Lou Fager's Racing has decades of experience in making fast drivers even faster. See them online at fagersracing.com. Or give them a call at 800-328-3618, and they'll get the parts you need, compliments of Lightning Lou.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.